Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch joins us now to discuss the Redskins. So much to get into from Ashburn today. Adrian Peterson is talking about Colt McCoy being the starter, even though he's not going to play in the second preseason game. You've got Trent Williams still not showing up, and there's a debate as to whether or not he's going to be the first-round pick, going to net a first-round pick, rather, from an opponent. Maybe on the schedule, maybe not. But we got more questions than answers and all of a sudden, and Danny, the opener's about 25 days away.
Dude, it's right around the corner. What are we not understanding here, Miguel?
Well, first off, I want to congratulate the Wizards on making another hire. I think they're going to hire us soon. I was worried they didn't have enough people there in that executive office.
They hired Jameson, by the way. I guess today that became official. They've had more hires in the. They're literally doing the opposite. They're going George Costanza. It was Ernie Grunfeld show. Now they're going to have 75 people in that front office, and no one knows what the hierarchy is.
Speaking of places where nobody knows where the hierarchy is, I would start with Adrian Peterson's comments, and I think that's telling that Case Keenum hasn't won this job. You know, I think they expected Case Keenum to come in, play well in the preseason, pick up the offense. He's a veteran quarterback, play well, and be named the starter. And not a predetermined competition, but one that he came in and won fairly, and you know, we all move on from there, but he hasn't done that. He hasn't been good enough to win the job, and obviously Haskins isn't ready yet. Everybody sees that, so we're kind of in a power vacuum here. Somebody's got to be the quarterback. It doesn't look great, though.
What are we missing? Why is it still being talked about like this could be Colt McCoy's job?
Because Colt McCoy's been every bit as good as Case Keenum during the preseason this year, and Case calls the plays a little bit quicker, gets the line a little bit quicker, and that's a product of 6 years in the offense. To me, if you were to put the two out there on the field and have them wear unmarked jerseys, I don't think you'd be able to tell the difference between who's better and who's worse right now.
Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch with us here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What's going on with Darius Geis? I thought this was solved. I thought he was good to go. I thought all the clearance was happening and we were going to see him. It's just a matter of time. And Jay kind of revealed yesterday, whoa, 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 not so fast, my friend, Lee Corso style. He is not cleared. He is not good to go. What's going on there?
Yesterday was a bad day for injuries, so I'll start with Geis from the top here. Obviously, we talked about Colt just now. Colt is not ready to go on Thursday, tomorrow, whenever that game is. So that's a concern. Geis, so he came to training camp. They used him a lot the first 3 days. They gave him a lot of snaps. I thought he looked good. I thought he was cutting well. I thought he was fast. Then I noticed that in subsequent days, they didn't use him very much, and they didn't use him during 11-on-11 time at all. And now this from Jay that he's not medically cleared yet. So I don't know if he rushed back too soon. Obviously, he's been pushing himself in the rehab or what it is. But something's clearly not right there. And so now you start to question, will he be ready for the opener? Will he be ready to take on a full NFL workload this year? He got issues there. I might add, as long as we're doing injuries, Trey Quinn didn't practice yesterday. Had his thumb wrapped up. Paul Richardson didn't practice yesterday either. And that's a quad. So those are two. Those are all starters. I think it's starter caliber. Richardson is starter, obviously, and Quinn is your starter in the slot. And those are guys who there's a pretty big drop off between how good they are and how good the next guy is.
Miguel, let me double down though on Geis. Was this the plan all along? I guess here's what the distinction I need to know: is this the plan all along, where we're just being cautious with a guy that, as you said, it wants to ramp it up and push himself too hard, and they're taking a big picture view, or is this? Yeah, we thought he'd be good to go, but he's still not quite there yet. Is this because of injuries that are lingering, or was this the plan all along?
Yeah, I think just because he missed so much time last year after the injury, I think they would prefer to have him at least doing the drills getting the reps, learning the offense. I don't think it's part of the plan that he's sitting out as much as he's sitting out right now. Now, I don't think they were ever going to play him extensively in the preseason games. That when it's full contact, full go, I think that would be a mistake. Even if he was fully healthy, I don't think Adrian Peterson should play tomorrow night. I just think it's a mistake to play running backs who are very good in full contact tackle football. That doesn't matter. So I would be less concerned about the preseason games and more concerned about him missing these reps during practices, because that is when the learning happens, and he's not a guy who is exempt from that. He's a guy who needs to be doing the learning.
But you fast forward, let's say, to midseason. Has anything really changed about the plan with him, big picture? Or is he still in line to get the same amount of work, touches, role that he would have before all this?
Well, and the other factor to me is Adrian Peterson's a guy who has been very public about, I want a lot of carries, I'm better when I get a lot of carries, all that. So, you've got to navigate that as well. If Peterson's just he's in a timeshare approach and you're not winning games, I think he's going to be very unhappy, which would be a bad situation. That said, Geis is explosive, man. He's special. He's a talent. When he's out there, you got to use him. So I think Jay's approach is going to be, when he's healthy, when he's cleared, you're going to give him a lot of carries because he can bring an extra dimension to this football team.
Michael, give me somebody who's got something to gain here tomorrow night. Are there a couple guys, maybe roster spots or guys who could secure a starting role, who could sort of prove their worth here to Jay Gruden and this coaching staff?
Well, we talk a lot about Terry McLaurin, and I think the reason we do that is he's legit fighting for a starting spot with Josh Doctson, in my opinion. I think your two receivers who have a lap locked up, Richardson and Quinn, that third spot to me, I think McLaurin's been better throughout training camp. I think he's absolutely pushing Josh Doctson for that spot and could earn it with another great performance. On the defensive side, I think it's Jimmy Moreland versus Fabian Moreau is the thing we're all excited about watching right now. Fabian has been steady, but less than fully impressive, and Moreland's been that spark plug guy. Now, I don't think you can trust Jimmy Moreland yet in an actual NFL game, because I think for every interception he gets, he's going to allow a 60-yard touchdown pass. He's got to find a way to get that out of his system, clean that up. But once he does, it's going to be really hard to keep him on the bench.
So a lot of our listeners are going to the game tomorrow night, and they make their decision on how long they're going to stay and whether or not it's worth even getting out to FedEx Field based on starters. Is it going to justify the expense, do you think? What are we going to get from the first stringers?
Well, don't go out there to see the first stringers. That would be a disappointment. But go out there, because I think, once again, you're going to see two full quarters of Dwayne Haskins. He's the future. You may not get to see him on the field for a while again after this. Probably may play alone the fourth preseason game, but if you want to go to FedEx and see the future of this franchise, Dwayne Haskins, by the way, he's fun to watch play football. He's got a cannon of an arm. He makes good plays. You saw him scramble out of pressure the other day. He's fun to watch. I think you get your money's worth watching two quarters of Dwayne Haskins playing pro football.
Any chance they give him some work with the ones at some point, just to, kind of kickstart that development and just to get a good evaluation? Not with the idea that he's going to start right away, and Jay can even quell that with a post game or a press conference that week, but any chance they get him that some of those really valuable reps that are so in demand?
I think everybody wants that. I think Haskins wants that. I think Jay wants that.
Danny Ruye wants that.
I think Case Keenum needs the reps. How sad is that to say right now on August, whatever it is, August 13th, Case Keenum needs these reps. He needs to get better before the season starts, because, look, we all love Colt McCoy. Colt is a good dude. Colt's going to get hurt. You can't count on Colt to play more than three or four games for you. Haskins isn't ready enough to jump in at that point, in my opinion. Obviously, if it's an emergency situation, you throw him in there, you reduce the play menu, that sort of thing. You got to get Case Keenum ready to go, and that's a frightening thing for me to be saying on the radio right now. Whatever you said it was, 25 days away from the opener, he's not ready to go well enough to give this team a chance to win yet. You got to give him enough reps to make sure he gets there.
Michael Phillips is at Michael PRTD on Twitter. What's an area of this team that is really good that people don't talk a whole lot about?
An area of this team that's good that people don't talk a lot about. I feel like people are sleeping on Jordan Reed, and I understand why people are sleeping on Jordan Reed. You got the medical stuff, and obviously he's missed a lot of games, but I think the thing people forget is when Jordan Reed's good, when he's healthy, when he's playing his best, he plays at a Hall of Fame level. I'm not exaggerating here. If Jordan Reed had played at his best for the last 7 years, we would be on the radio talking about this man is on a Hall of Fame trajectory, one of the best tight ends to do it, one of the best pass-catching tight ends to ever do it. He hasn't been that. He's not going to the Hall of Fame. I think everybody understands that. But when he's at his best, he's a guy who can single-handedly lift your team, convert third downs, make big plays. And that's the Jordan Reed we've seen so far in training camp. I don't know how long it'll last. I don't know how long you should expect it to last. But as long as it's there, that's a very, very special dimension to this team. That's why they keep paying him all that money, even though he only gives them 7 games a year, because those 7 games are game changers.
Michael, thank you as always, buddy. Enjoy the day.
You guys too.
Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch, you got to get back to those 7 games being game changers. In the last year, they just didn't get what they wanted out of him. He says he's going to be a different guy this year. Next, Joe Ross has been a different guy lately. How's he doing it? Plus, Max Scherzer could be back soon. He's throwing his sim game yesterday. How's he feeling today? We're going to try to find out on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
For help in the rotation. Has turned his season around. He's going to be on the show today at 1:30. Eric Fetty, first-round pick out of UNLV, has been back and forth from the big leagues dating back to 2017. Had made enough starts, right around a full season's worth of work almost, like 25, that you felt like maybe you just know what this guy is. But now, 8 out of his 11 starts, he's allowed 2 earned runs or fewer.
So he went from when he was, you know, coming out of college, kind of the hard thrower, big breaking ball. It's half curveball, half slider. Nobody's really sure what to call it. It's technically, he calls it a slider, but it's got some curveball to it too. Point is, it was a power stuff kind of guy. He's changed, man. He's now cutting it one way. Like, it looked like he's throwing a cutter. Looks like he's got a two-seamer working. He's down in the zone. He's become a little bit like Anibal Sanchez, honestly, where it's not just about trying to blow it by people. It's pitching at this point. And sometimes the light bulb goes on late for some guys. Sometimes they come out of the chute doing it that way. He's reinvented himself a little bit, and he's been a different guy when the Nats have needed him desperately to do so, and it's been great.
We'll ask him about his resurgence when he joins the show coming up in a couple of hours. Remember, at 12:45 today, we've got Nats tickets. Make sure you're listening. And these are some good ones too, Danny. Nats O's, little Mid-Atlantic Beltway Series, yeah. Regional rivalry. What better way to win over the fans in your life that like the Orioles by saying, hey, I got 2 tickets to go see the Nats and the O's, and neither of them are yours. You know?
Yeah.
Just troll them a little bit and let them know that the game's being played in the nation's capital. Now, the Nats split with the Birds in Baltimore the first time around. They're going to need to take both of those games here in Washington against an Orioles team. I mean, they're just a blooper reel every time they take the field at this point. Balls flying all over the place. They're like trying to throw the ball into home plate, and they're losing it out of their hand.
It does look like a circus act at times.
You have to watch their games with that blooper music in the background.
The Benny Hill stuff?
Oh, it's crazy. But Joe Ross last night, he's a different guy, man. The stuff looks nasty again. It's funny how quickly things can change in baseball. Where you and I were basically saying, if he throws no-hit ball tonight, and he almost did, 1 hit and 5 1/3. We'll all meet at IHOP and talk about how great Joe Ross was. That was on August 1st, I think we had that segment. 13 days later, he has pitched 18 innings and allowed 1 earned run.
He has the longest scoreless streak of any Washington Nationals pitcher this year.
How's that possible?
They have Patrick Corbin, Steven Strasburg, and Max Scherzer on their staff, and he owns the longest scoreless streak this season.
Gave up his first run, shattering a stretch of 17-plus innings last night in the seventh in his final frame. Hunter Strickland came on, got the last out. They gave the ball to Wander Suero, pitched well in the eighth. And then Daniel Hudson, on a night where Sean Doolittle was unavailable, pitched the ninth inning and got the door slammed, even though he gave up an extra base hit and a run scored against him in the ninth last night. I don't know if this Ross renaissance is in any way sustainable. In fact, I would just bet against it. I think he's on a little bit of a heater. The numbers are correcting themselves. But what gives me some hope is this is not Ross looking like he looked before and just getting better results with loud contact and balls being hit at guys. He's now 96-97 again. So the velocity's up a tick. Everything's down in the zone. Yep. Everything's moving. That nasty slider from when he first came up, because people forget, and we talked about this when we were killing him a couple weeks ago. In 2015 and in 2016, he was magnificent as a young starter. I mean, he was, at one point in time, holding opponents to a .223 batting average in the big leagues. Think about that.
Yeah.
Danny, he looks like that guy again. I know it's only been three starts, but this is a huge developing story.
It is. And, again, I don't know what's going to happen with Max Scherzer. Yesterday, good, encouraging sign. I'm happy about that. I will celebrate when I've got five more starts in the books of Max Scherzer being Max Scherzer, and I don't have to think about him not being healthy anymore. Because I've been down this road before with him, where he's going to make his start. It's not a big deal. And he gets an injection because I'm sure everything is okay. And the next thing you know, that report of Max is back tightened up on him the day after he pitched. So we'll still see. He threw yesterday, and that's great. We'll see where he is at today. I anxiously await those reports. They've needed this, quite frankly. The way you get to 18 and 13 without the best pitcher on the planet are guys doing things that you would never have expected.
Mm-hmm.
If you had Joe Ross writing himself where he was getting tattooed in Fresno, where his ERA is basically 10 heading into August. If you had him putting up nothing but zeros for 16-plus innings, buy a lottery ticket today and buy an island tomorrow. If you knew that was coming and you made fun of us for not knowing that was coming, do something else with your life. To predict the future. Tell me when the natural disaster is coming and I'll move my house. Unbelievable that this went this way.
Well, and sometimes you get lucky too. And I don't want to take credit away from the Nationals because they have been immensely patient with Joe Ross. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they turned down some trade offers for him. Someone with the team told me that as many as, I think it was three clubs, a few teams, I think is what they actually said, to be accurate, had called and asked about Joe Ross. And they said, no, he's not available. They weren't trading him. So you give him credit for that. But part of this is luck. Like, remember when they signed Daniel Murphy? They got rave reviews because they went out. It's around $14 million after his big World Series run with the Mets. He came here and he found a new ability.
Yeah, well, he was their first choice, right?
Third choice on their to-do list at second base. I'm trying to remember. I think it was Brandon Phillips and Ben Zobrist.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted Zobrist first. He signed with the Cubs. Then they wanted Brandon Phillips and had a deal in place with him, remember?
That's right. And Phillips said no.
After a couple days, he was going to come back to play with Dusty. He really liked Dusty in Cincinnati. And for some reason, he pulled out of that deal. What a difference history would have been, right? I mean, and then they say, okay, well, who's our third guy? Let's go to Daniel Murphy. Worked out amazingly well. Similarly, with this Joe Ross situation, if Scherzer doesn't get hurt, Ross isn't in the rotation right now. And he hasn't gotten it together. And he is in Fresno getting knocked around with the Major League Baseballs in a bandbox in AAA and in a Pacific Coast League that is very hitter-friendly. So I would make the same case. I mean, if not for having two spots in the rotation open, Fetty from Hellickson, what have you, these guys wouldn't be getting this chance. And it's why you talk to people around baseball and they'll tell you it's really hard to develop players in Washington and in situations like what the Nationals have, where you have to win all the time.
Yep.
You are chasing all the time. Every game matters and has for several years now. And so you can't just let Michael Taylor struggle. You can't let Joe Ross fail. A lot of teams have that luxury. The Nationals don't. But they've gotten a chance to do it, really, amid turmoil.
But they've been forced into roles, yes.
And the guys have responded.
So a couple other notes on Ross. He's throwing harder than he ever has. And usually I would have told you that's not a recipe for success for him.
What's his fastball velo right now?
94.4. It's the hardest of his career. His sinker's harder than it's ever been at 94 miles an hour. That's the average sinker velocity, okay? He was a couple years ago in 2017, 91.8 on his sinker. And usually, hard throwing and sinker doesn't usually go great together. It's like you're ending up throwing through your sink. You can't get the same kind of movement.
Right.
He threw one yesterday that broke like a left-handed breaking ball going down and into somebody. And if you can do that, have that kind of movement, not sacrifice a ton of movement and be able to throw that fastball with that kind of velocity, really a 2.5 pitch combo, because he's got the occasional show me curveball that he's been throwing this year. His changeup has never been able to get right, so he's basically just scrapped it. Remember all those years of Jordan Zimmermann wanted to have a changeup, but just finally said, you know what? My three best pitches are my fastball, my slider, and my curveball. I'm going to do that to some success. I think that's helped Ross immensely. The other thing we've got to give credit to, Paul Menhart got a shout out for this. This is why we're here. We know you've got some potential. There's something beautiful in that right arm. Let's figure it out. Small tweaks, picking his leg up a little bit higher, getting into his legs more in terms of using the strength and athleticism that Joe Ross has that most guys don't have.
Also change the pace he works at.
All that stuff is very, very good, and the results speak for themselves.
Menhart has been an unsung hero.
Agree.
For this team this year. You know, coaching at the major league level may or may not really be all that impactful, but when you go from Derek Lilliquist, who didn't ever really get hands-on or talk to guys based on what you and I have heard about their mechanics, and there were guys on the team like Brandon Kinsler that were helping guys out and tweaking things and looking at some of the charts. Now you've got someone in Menhart, particularly with the young guys like Fetty, who we can talk to about this at 130, and Ross. He came up in the minors with those guys.
Yep.
You know, he has helped them a few steps along the way, and now he's in the big leagues with them, and you're seeing the results. Max Scherzer. When will he be back, and how did the sim game go yesterday? Some of the details that came out were actually pretty funny involving Anibal Sanchez. We'll explain next on Grant and Dan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, thanks for listening. Always appreciate it. 106.7 The Fan. At Grant H. Paulson for me.
At Funny Danny for me. You can go there and find out that I'll be at the Bright Box Winchester. Just 2 days from now, Friday night. Get your tickets.
Bright Box Winchester.
That's right.
What time we start?
It is 7 o'clock doors, 8 o'clock for the share.
Okay. And that's at 8 o'clock. You got an opener?
I do.
10, 15 minutes?
I'm not even sure who it is, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. They haven't told me.
And then what are you doing? 45 to an hour?
45 to 55, probably.
All right. Very good.
Bright Box Winchester.
Is there going to be a God mic?
Yes, of course there is. It's a legitimate venue.
All right. Will there be a flashing light in the back when you're running out of time, or how are we going to do that?
Yeah.
What if no one did that? Would you know to start winding it down?
I'd have a general instinct. I'd have a general instinct of the feel, but I'd also check my watch. I'm not wearing a watch right now, but I'd wear one on stage.
You would wear one on stage for that purpose.
For that purpose.
We'll get to our double play coming up in about 10 minutes. Did you read any of the notes on the Max Scherzer simulation of a start?
I did. So it sounded like a big to-do. They got a couple guys that are in and out of the lineup at this point, right? Gerardo Parra as a regular, but Ryan Zimmerman, who's on the injured list, took some swings off
Howie
Scherzer.
Kendrick.
Howie Kendrick took some swings off Scherzer. They went through the exercise of having Max Scherzer get up, get hot, start an inning, finish the inning, sit back down, and kind of do that again, which is a simulated game. It's a good thing.
What I loved about it, though, is some of the specifics were Max does everything like it's a real game.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually went out there in his full uniform, which is what he always does, to throw his bullpens. And to your point, he would throw his warm-up pitches. He would throw, I think he threw like two innings of over 30 pitches each, which are not Max Scherzer innings. Normally his innings are like 12 to 16 pitches.
With three strikeouts.
But two long innings, went and sat down in between, came back and threw again. And one of the things I loved was apparently he wanted everything to be so authentic that Anibal Sanchez came out behind him to the mound with like a boombox, I guess.
It was a boombox.
Like a DJ. And he would play walk-up music for each batter. So, like, Max would stand there, and for Gerardo Parra, they played Baby Shark, and everyone was laughing. Like, for Zim, they played whatever his song was. When Max went out to the mound, grabbed the ball, and started throwing his warm-up pitches, they played his song that he plays before every game. So, they had Anibal Sanchez legit playing DJ for his session yesterday, which I found hysterical. On top of that, and I loved this, he a couple of times decided he wanted to get work on like a specific pitch. So like he would have Ryan Zimmerman after however his at-bat ended, go back into the box. He'd say, okay, it's 1-2 right now. I'm throwing you a fastball. Something like that. Or like 1-2, you know, two outs, give him a sequence, trying to put you away here. And Zim took him out to left field, I think, with a home run.
Mm-hmm.
He had a pitch he was throwing to Gerardo Parra. And this just speaks to how advanced he is and how sharp this guy is. Like, he didn't want to risk bouncing a slider in on Parra's foot. So he basically told him, he's like, hey, I'm throwing you a slider toward your back foot. Favre's like, what? He's like, just a heads up. Like, I'm aiming for your back foot here. I don't want you to get hit and get hurt or whatever. Because he doesn't know where his slider is at this point. And sure enough, like, the next pitch, according to Jesse Dougherty's story in the Washington Post, like, bounced. Parr had to move his foot. And he, like, gave him a thumbs up. Like, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, I appreciate the heads up. Thank you.
But he's just so far ahead, it seems like, mentally, of everyone else. I just hope his back cooperates, dude.
So the story really is today, right? Yesterday, big hurdle. That's massive. Thank you. I'm glad he pitched. Hopefully, you know, he didn't, like, grab his back in sharp pain or, you know, look like he was fine in his uniform. The real test is recovery, because that's really what's been the bugaboo here, is he threw, was okay, and then the next day he woke up with a lot of soreness, which tells you that the mechanism isn't right. Today is the test. I am sitting here twiddling my thumbs with bated breath, wanting to know, as soon as the microphones get in front of his face, how do you feel today? That's what I need to know. I need to know how Max Scherzer is today. Because if he's fine today, now we progress towards Max coming back. If he's not fine today, we wait and start this whole thing over again, and we're talking about a sim game probably again in, what, 2 weeks? Because you're waiting for this thing to calm down. Hopefully now it's calm.
And this is what matters. You're right. Because we've heard over and over and over again that everything was fine. We've heard a bunch of times that he felt okay, even after throwing. And you just pointed this out. But, like, think about the Rockies game, Danny. The Rockies game, you and I, weren't we in Richmond for that at training camp?
It sounds right.
Yeah, I think it was day game, too. So we were, like, at the practice field. Because I remember sitting there watching it on my computer screen in front of us the whole time. And then getting back to the hotel in time to turn on the TV for the bullpen to blow the game, Fernando Rodney style. But that game, before Daniel Murphy and Ian Desmond hit their tying and winning home runs for the Rockies at Nationals Park, he looked really sharp until the fifth inning or so when he got removed from the game after five. And that day in the clubhouse, after the game, told everyone, I'm fine. I got through this. This isn't an issue at all. It was the next day when he woke up that was the problem. And he's actually now been diagnosed. I mentioned the Dougherty piece. He laid this out really well. With three different issues. Just reading from a quote here. Scherzer felt fine after facing the Rockies. His only start since July 6th, but he woke up the next day in pain. That led to the third diagnosis since the All-Star break. First, mild back strain. Second, bursitis in the scapula. Third, he went to the 10-day injured list with a mild rhomboid muscle strain. So it's like moving around, essentially. It hasn't been in the same spot, which is part of his frustration.
It just tells you that it's compensation, right? It may have started one way, but now we compensate for that. Next thing you know, something else breaks down. There's something wrong, and I keep using the word mechanism. That's how I think of it. Like, the pitching delivery is this complicated mechanism, and it starts with the simple moving of his left foot back and his arms over his head, and then it continues all the way into his delivery and his follow-through, and then there's, like, a one count. That whole mechanism that takes a couple seconds to do, something is off in there, and when you have something that's floating in terms of where the pain is, it just tells me that there's a breakdown.
Doesn't it feel, too, like they were kind of operating on max time when they brought him back last time because he knows his body so well and he's always been right.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm ready to go. And they kind of listened, whereas now it doesn't seem like that's happening as much. Now it seems like this is more them, not Max, calling the shots. Do you get that vibe at all?
I do get that. It's, okay, thank you very much for your input. We're going to go talk now.
Because I heard Rizzo with the Junkies this morning. They did a great interview with him, and they asked him about Scherzer, and they said, kind of, what are you anticipating after the throw day? And I'm pretty sure he said, yeah, I kind of know what's going to happen. I'll get to the ballpark. He'll say everything's great, and he wants to pitch. And we'll have to actually figure out if that's the case. I think maybe they were more willing to listen earlier because every step of the way in his career here. You go back to, like, when he had that neck issue after he slept funny before that Marlins game where he homered, remember? He's never really taken unnecessary risks. He's always listened to his body. He's been healthy for most of his major league career. I mean, he throws over 200 innings every single season, which is at risk this year, obviously. But I think now they've kind of taken control a little more, and they're going, we know you want to pitch. We'll let you know when you can pitch. And they're protecting him a little bit because he keeps looking at the standings thinking what you and I are thinking.
I need to come back.
I need to be there, or we're not getting where we need to go.
And he's right. So that's the other part of this.
Now they got to think about next year, too.
Well, we got to think about even the rest of this year. I mean, the thing that cannot happen is he's never available during this run. And that's what you risk if you do it too soon.
True. If he comes back, let's say, this weekend, that's probably too soon. Let's say he comes back early next week or midweek at some point and pitches, and it's another Rockies game. You know, it's five innings with two or three runs. He comes out of the game because they said he wouldn't throw over 100 pitches in his first game back. So let's say he gets 80-some pitches and he goes 5 1/3 or whatever. He's out of the game, feels okay. Next day, something barks again. Now, that gets you to the end of the season almost, right? I mean, it's been almost a month now on the shelf. It's been a couple weeks since he pitched against the Rockies. Now you're talking about being into mid-September before we're seeing Max Scherzer again. So you have to get this right this time. The Beltway Blitz is at noon, a little over 15 minutes from right now on Grant and Danny. Next, our double play. What's going on in our life? Nothing to do with sports.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I just got a text from my sister. A weird dream she had last night. Apparently, she had a dream that me and my brother and her were in the backyard somewhere. I don't know whose house we were at.
All right.
And there were three mini tents in the backyard set up, and a tornado was coming. But not like a real tornado, just a small tornado made out of a pile of leaves. And my oldest brother kept yelling at me to get in my tent before the tornado came, and I wouldn't get in my tent. And then she woke up.
So stubborn. Why wouldn't you get in your tent, bro?
I don't know. I need to get in my tent. I need to protect myself from those windy leaves.
I wonder if it's like that little breeze that you would hear in Bird Box. Or something where it just lets you know that it's the other presence or whatever, the badness. Just let you know that like something bad is coming. It's the gentle breeze and leaves move.
I probably don't want to know, but I think if you take that to like a dream doctor, aren't there like dream psychologists or something that tell you what your dream means?
Yeah, Sigmund Freud made a whole career of that.
I have a book of ways to explain your dreams. I'll bring it in tomorrow. We can break it down.
But there's no chance it has a chapter on getting in a tent with leaves coming.
No, but it probably has something about tents, and then it has something about little tiny tornadoes made of leaves.
So what always
and you connect them together.
What they always do is, and by the way, it's so convenient. What they go, well, because your brother told you something, it means you have a dynamic with your brother. Or because your sister warned you about this, I mean, she's concerned.
Do you buy
about
it?
No, I think it's all nonsense.
Only one way to find out, tomorrow at 11:45.
Right, exactly. Tune in for the latest. I don't buy it, I guess, in the sense that if, like, I have a dream where I'm swimming in water and I can't breathe properly and I wake up, like, they'll know exactly what that means.
So they won't go that you're afraid of drowning. It means that do you have a big test coming up or something?
Exactly.
No.
But there's probably more to it than I think as someone who's just completely dismissive of it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying there's a 0 out of 100, and maybe it's like a 16 out of a 100.
But it's like the guy going, or it's like, a psychic going, let's see, there's someone in your life. Do you have someone in your life that's do you have someone in your life that's gained some weight recently? Yeah, I do. It's amazing. Yeah. Is it a man? Yes, it is. How did you know? Yeah, well, I just sort of threw something general out there.
So many vague things.
You know?
Tom, at your wedding, you had someone that made predictions on how people's lives would go.
Yes.
Based on their lip reading, because they put lipstick on and like kissed paper, right?
Yes, she's a lipsologist.
Lipsologist. Okay.
Which is wacky. Did you get that done at all?
I did not. No.
All right.
I was one of the only people that didn't.
Dar, did you?
I did not, no.
The line was very, very long when I got into the reception hall, but I know a lot of people did.
I would say about 75% of the people, including J.P. Flame, did the lipsology, yeah.
I just wonder, like, what kind of things? Did she speak in those vagaries, or did she give you?
Because if she
specifics?
Was like, you use these lips to tell the story of the junkies once a day, I'd be like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, spot on.
She's a P1.
What JP told me she told him was that he's a volcano. And he goes, okay, what's a volcano? Like, what does that mean as a person?
What does that mean?
And she said, well, you know, you're very calm most of the time, but you let your anger simmer up inside of you and then you explode. And I go, that's pretty spot on for you.
That was about as
into it as she got. She didn't like pick any dates out or anything like that.
I don't know. I've never done that. And that's another thing, again, I don't buy, but I think it's entertainment.
Sure, yeah, it's
like
fun.
It would be fun to do.
Now, if you live your life according to some gospel.
It's a hell of a cocktail hour.
Well, you know why it was a hell of a cocktail hour? I had great cocktails, good convo with pals, and I pummeled delicious appetizers. That's why it was a great cocktail hour.
And there was also a body contortionist.
That was something.
That was a thing I'd never seen.
There's your conversation piece.
So that was pretty good. The other thing that I don't buy, I don't know where you're at on this. I probably do know where you're at on this, to be honest with you. But we've never discussed it. What about the mediums who supposedly talk to the dead people in your life?
Do you mean the snake oil salesman or the hucksters? Pick one.
Right. I thought you'd be on that side. I mean, because same thing. They'll go, I'm hearing something. I'm getting something. It's a J. Did you know anyone the name started with a J? And they're like, no. They're like a J. Maybe it's a K. K? And they're like, yeah. Catherine, my aunt. It's like Catherine's so obscure. You've talked to Aunt Catherine like four times. And like,
she wants you to know
Aunt
that she's
Catherine
here.
Aunt Catherine wants you to know that she misses you and she wishes she knew you better. And it's like, oh my God, Aunt Catherine, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a nice parlor trick for
so
gullible folks that need closure. I mean, it's whatever. I feel bad because you're not there because everything's great. You're there because you probably miss somebody. And that's really hard. I have missed people too. But stop doing that. Stop giving your money to those folks.
That'll work for my double play. It is time for Danny's.
I'm going to combine two into one. We've got a mystery. And you can cue it up if you want, Tom. This is not Asteroid Defense, Danny. This is, who, by the way, is 100% correct every word I've ever said about the topic. This is, we don't know here what's going on. The black hole at the edge of our known universe, edge of our galaxy, rather, Sagittarius A, a black hole 4 million times as massive as the sun. So take one sun, way, way, way bigger than the little thing we're on right now, this little rock. Multiply that times 4 million, you get the size of this black hole. So a dude on Mauna Kea in Hawaii, which, by the way, I've been to and I've looked at that telescope, went there on my honeymoon, little known fact about old Rainy Dew yet. In a period of 2 hours, scientists are watching this black hole because it's visible as you're making the orbits around the sun. All of a sudden, over the course of 2 hours, it became 75 times brighter in the near-infrared band of the light spectrum. A.K.A. it looks like a damn rainbow inside a black hole all of a sudden. What are you sure about? This is, again, science occurrences here. The adults are talking. Jason, pipe down with that, Mr. Peck. So the event, nobody can figure out what the hell's going on as it's happening. They're trying to measure the results of this. Nobody knows why. The black hole itself is expanding. No one really understands black holes. They took a crack at it, the Matthew McConaughey movie where he yelled Murph a lot. But other than that, nobody really seems to know what the deal is. We have a contender to help us out with what's going on with the black hole, Thami. Thami's top boy, Mad Mike Hughes. You may remember this jackass. From the dude that wanted to build his own rocket, but then couldn't do it that time because he thought the flame would singe his buttocks.
Skin and muscle
that's
off
the guy.
Your bone,
oh,
okay?
That's Mad Mike.
That's Mad Mike.
You'd be a skeleton, and then it'd probably blow you back about 50
He's
foot.
He's back,
about
baby.
50 foot. Subject verb agreement. Struggles building rockets. Excellent at that, apparently.
With trash, he like finds stuff out of dumpsters and builds rockets that propel him 100 feet into the air.
I want
to crash back down and break bones.
Mad Mike Hughes to build himself a rocket. Maybe get some funding. Maybe he gets a federal grant. Not a Grant Paulson, but a federal grant where you just get some money. You
right.
Go investigate
that
black hole, Mike.
But I tell you one thing. I thank the grace of somebody. That thing could have fired while I'm getting pulled out of it.
I don't understand what you meant there, Mike. But here's what I do know. You're our best candidate. 62-year-old Mad Mike Hughes who builds homemade rockets and wants to go up about 1,800 feet. To prove that the Earth is flat. Why don't you prove that that black hole thing isn't going to get us, Mike?
By the way, this is the time that he dies. You know that, right? Last time his goal was a few hundred feet or something like that, and he didn't make it, and he crashed, and he almost died.
Going back about 50 foot.
This.
What does that mean?
This goal is thousands of feet, 2,000.
1875.
That's the last thing I want to do is climb out of the thing, okay? I'm ready.
Are
After
you?
They gave me the go sign, I said it for about 10, 15 seconds. I said, man, it's time to do it.
You're not going to be able to climb out.
He wants to
People
go
are
over
pull
500
you
meters. Yeah,
it's just not going to work. By the way, I just Googled this. Do you know how many Earths you can fit into the sun?
I don't know.
Think about it
now.
Like a bag that you just put a bowling balls into.
Isn't it like hundreds?
How many do you think you could, how many Earths could you fit into the bag that is the sun?
I'm going to say, because I don't know, I'm going to say 1,000.
You would be a skeleton.
How about 1.3 million?
There you go. So the black hole is 4 million times that.
It's a big black hole,
That's
man.
A giant hole.
And that, then it'd probably blow you back about 50 foot.
The black
That's
hole would
scary.
Do that.
That's what we need teams worried about. Not asteroids that are never going to affect us because we can shoot them down at any time.
We can't.
Send Harry Stamper.
Well, there's nothing.
Stamper can't do anything about a black hole.
You want to talk about nothing you can do? You can't do anything about a black hole.
If it
decides it's time, it's time.
Which is why I'm worried about that. Not worried about all this other stuff that you like to talk about.
Asteroid defense.
We got Harry Stamper. Dave Jagler on the Nats at 1, speaking to the Nationals. Eric Fetty at 1:30. Trent Williams could net a first-round pick back, according to an expert. What are we waiting for? Beltway Blitz is next.
Summer of 60 event.
But if it gets down below 250, mm-hmm. I don't think it's got enough thrust to get it really off the ramp high enough to activate the parachute.
No, it's a good point, Mike. And speaking of sub-250, how about the F-150? That's right. At Ted Britt Ford, your F-150 headquarters, you can get up to $7,000 below the MSRP on a new 2019 F-150 truck, plus a $1,000 trade assist.
And then it'd probably blow you back about 50 foot.
You'd be that surprised. Plus, no payments for 60 days. You'd be so taken aback by the offer, it would blow you back about 50 foot.
You'd be a skeleton.
Well, I don't know about that. You'd be really pleased with your car, or truck, or SUV that you would get at Ted Britt Ford. And the Summer 60 event is about this. It's about them taking care of customers for 60 years, okay? Fairfax, Chantilly, clickaway, tedbritt.com. I went there, been there three different times. They started 1959, and they do this really well. Let them take care of you. They're so good at it. And all summer long, you don't pay them anything for 60 days when you buy from Ted Britt Ford. That's exciting, Mike.
It's the last thing I want to do is cry them out of the thing, okay? I'm ready.
You should be ready. You're ready to get yourself the Ted Britt Ford, get yourself a great deal on a car, and then you don't pay Ted Britt Ford anything for 60 days. You got to go see him, as I said. And when you go, please tell me, Ted Britt Ford, Danny and Matt Mike.
After they gave me the go sign, I said it for about 10, 15 seconds. I said, man, it's time to do it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.